This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to another program on a Saturday. We've called for a lot of years Raising the Standard. We trust you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and it's a privilege to be here. We want to thank all you that are listening right now, and we trust that you're going to receive something by the Spirit of God from what we're going to talk about today. So Pastor Donna and I are here, and we got Sister Margie Swaney with us, and we mentioned before we came on that our dear sister, Melody, couldn't be here today. Melanie, she's got an important thing she's doing with the women at the jail this morning, or this afternoon. So, but we got three here, and where there's two or more gathered together, the Bible says what? Amen. He's right in our midst. So we're honored to be here with you.
Yes.
And we do offer CDs. If you'd like to get a copy of what we're going to be talking about today, all we ask for is a love offering. And where are they going to send it to, Pastor Donna?
Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995.
Okay. We might mention, say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks over on Andros Island in the Bahamas. They're so much a part of us. We love them so much. And they're doing a great work over there. The Temple of God's coming up. So either listening, you've probably been with us for a while, some of you. So keep them in prayer. And if you would be led to send them some finances to help them get this roof. They're almost there with the finances. You could send out a check to our ministry again that Donna just gave you, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. The zip is 34995, and mark the bottom on the check for Andros Island or for the Temple of God, and we'll make sure they get every penny of it. And so talking about our program even, right, Pastor Donna? It costs us $165 a week here to be on the air. So if you're led by the Lord, or He speaks to you about maybe paying for 1 week's program or even a half a week's program, it's all going to be honored, and God will honor it with you as well. So you just ask the Lord what He'd have you to do, and if you do, you'll be blessed, and so will this ministry, and so will Roscoe and Audrey as well. So we're honored to be here with you. So hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, let's give the phone number.
Right,
okay,
ahead.
It's area code 772-285-7007. And I also want to mention that we have Shabbat today at 2 p.m.
2 p.m., yeah.
So come and join us at the Alliance Church at 2 o'clock this afternoon and celebrate Yeshua with us and celebrate the Sabbath. Amen?
Amen.
And that's on Osceola Street, 445 Southeast Osceola Street in Stuart, Florida.
Right near the hospital.
There you go, Pastor Gene.
Okay, right down the street from the hospital. So we're honored to be here with you, and we got Miss Margie here with us too. She's always got some wonderful things to talk about. And you know, in the last few weeks, we've been talking about manifestations.
Yes.
So we're going to talk some more about manifestations here today. And I want to go back where we started the very first week, over in 1 Samuel chapter 19. But I just want to go over some of these things real quick, and then we're going to expand on this a little bit. We talked about some of the manifestations that God's been doing. We talked about, you know, falling out in the spirit. Some people don't think that's of God, but But we know it's of God because I've been on the floor many times and I wonder how I got there. And then we talked about shaking, jerking, and trembling, groaning and travailing, deep bowing, heavy weeping and crying. Some people laugh, some people weep, you know. And so laughing was one of them. Being still before the Lord. And what's the Bible say? Be still and know that I am God. And then Donna talked a little bit last week about being what they call drunk in the Spirit. And that's out of Acts chapter 2. We're not drunk or inebriated like the world thinks, but there's something that happens to us that we get out of control, and we want the Lord, we want the Holy Ghost to be in control and not us. So that's a very important one. And we can have visions and dreams, can't we?
Yes.
That's what it says. The young men will have visions, the old men will have dreams. I'm wanting to dream a lot. And then we have speaking in tongues. A sudden loud noises that happen. How about prophetic acts? You know, Isaiah was told to run around naked for 2.5 or 3 years in the Bible. That doesn't mean he had all his clothes off, but he didn't have no shirt on. And so we have these lessons all through this. And so these are all important things that God is doing today. And some people say, well, why would he be doing that? Well, I don't know. I'm not God. But he has a reason. He knows where every person's at. He knows where their heart is. He knows what they need to hear. Some people need to laugh so hard that their belly hurts to break away from some of the things that's holding them back. And we know that what? Laughter is what? Medicine to the bones. And so that's an important one as well. So we're going to expand on this a little bit. And I'm going to go to 1 Samuel 19, where we were the very first week we talked about this. And then we're going to get over to the New Testament for a little bit and talk about something. And remember, all this was possible in the New Covenant because of Pentecost that we've been talking about so much. Now, we know here we're in the First Covenant. The Spirit of God did not dwell all the time in everybody. It only came upon who? Kings, priests, and the prophets. The rest of the people did not dwell in them. So the difference between the First Covenant and the New Covenant is what? Now the Holy Ghost dwells in us all the time. We don't have to wait for him to come upon us. He's in us all the time. But he does touch us from time to time, doesn't he? In new realms and dimensions. And so we want to keep that in mind. But we're going to see some things here with the First Covenant, that people came in the presence of a group of people or one or two people that had a special anointing for a specific time by the Spirit of God, and how it affected them all. Now we're going to read this. I was thinking this morning, what kind of a circumference was around these people when these things manifested? How far out did it go from where it started? You know, did it go 100 feet? Did it go 20 feet? I don't know. But it affected the people that walked into the presence of God, and it hit them as well. So let's go to chapter 19. I'm going to read a little bit here. I'm going to start in verse 8. Let's read some verses here. And there was a war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. Now, we don't want that, do we?
No.
But he had an evil spirit, and it says it came from the Lord. As he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. His plan was to kill David, but look what happens here. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence and smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. So Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. So she helped him out.
Yes.
And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair over his bolster and covered it with cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick. So they were feigning something that he was really sick, and he wasn't he?
No.
He wasn't sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy that he has escaped? And Michal answered Saul and said, he said unto me, let me go, why should I kill thee? And that was a lie, wasn't it? Because Saul wanted to kill him. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel, to Ramah, and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he sent Samuel and went and dwelt in a city called Saoth. Now remember, Samuel was the prophet, remember, that was called from a little boy. And the Bible says every word that he ever spoke, never fell to the ground. Everything that God gave him and he spoke came to pass. Verse 19, and it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. And here we go. Here's the key part, these next two verses. And Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the company of prophets, here we go, company of prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. So anybody that came in that realm where the presence of God was, what happened? They were influenced by the Spirit of God. They couldn't hold it back, and they prophesied. Verse 21, and when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Succah, and he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until they came to Naoth in Ramah. Isn't this incredible? Think about it, huh?
Yes.
And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets. So think about Saul. He lost his anointing to be king of Israel. Yes. He disobeyed God and all that, and was taken away. But when he came in the presence of anointing of these prophets that came, the anointing jumped on him as well, and he couldn't hold it back because God was going to speak through him whether he wanted to or not. Isn't that amazing when you think about it?
Yes.
Didn't God speak through a donkey one time?
Yes.
He sure did. So this is a great picture here, understanding of what God was going to do with this. And so remember, this was one small incident that happened in the first covenant. There's some other ones in here as well, but I thought this was very important because of what happened with Saul losing his anointing to be king. Now let's go over to the New Testament. I want to go over to John chapter 16 with you for a moment. We're going to read a few verses here. More than a few verses. I'm going to start, first of all, in chapter 15. And I want to read verse 26 and 27, the last two verses of chapter 15. But when the Comforter is come, so you listening, who is the Comforter? Huh? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. Now remember, the first covenant people didn't have the Holy Ghost because it had not been given yet. But the Spirit of God did come upon people. Now it says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send, Jesus, this is his words, I will send unto you from the Father. So they work in conjunction, don't they?
Yes.
Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, chapter 16 now, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, now listen to this, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
So he couldn't come until Jesus what? Left. You know what it says in Luke chapter 24?
Mm-hmm.
Power from on high was going to come. Now verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. So this makes it clear, I think, reading this, if we don't believe in Jesus, we're living in sin, aren't we?
Yes.
Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. He's the righteous judge, wasn't he, Yeshua? Verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Now, I want to read some verses here, and we want to connect this with these manifestations, because what he's going to share here was allowed, it produced something in their hearts to allow them to understand and to go out and accomplish what God wanted them to do in those days when they walked the earth to speak forth the things of Yeshua. And so we'll see here that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are totally involved in anything that happens. And so these all brought forth what? Manifestations in people's lives. And we can read all through the book of Acts, the things, you know, that the Holy Ghost did in the book of Acts. I mean, signs and wonders and miracles, those were all manifestations of the Holy Ghost that was given at Pentecost. So here we are, we're in verse 13. Now listen to this real close. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, well, that Spirit's capitalized, you notice that? So that's the Spirit of God. He will guide you into what? All truth. It's talking about the Holy Ghost. For he shall not speak of himself. Hear this? The Holy Ghost doesn't speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So who does he hear from?
His Father.
Yeah. But who does the Holy Ghost hear from? From Yeshua. Listen to this. Read it again. For he shall not, this is talking about the Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Okay? That's the Messiah. All right? Now, look at verse 14. He, this is the Holy Ghost, shall glorify me. For he, the Holy Ghost, shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Everything they got came from the Holy Ghost. Verse 15. Then look what Jesus says. All things. Notice it says all things that the Father hath are mine. He has everything that the Father has.
Yes.
Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, of what right. Yeshua had, or I'm take of mine what Yeshua had, and shall show it unto you. Isn't that amazing?
That's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yes.
And then he says, in a little while you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. So, this is amazing how God put this in place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, this was the beginning of this time. And Jesus was still alive here because he was speaking. But the time came when he was going to be crucified, die, shed his blood for all of our sins, and he rose from the grave exactly the way he said he was going to do that. And after that time, if we go over to, let's go back to the book of Luke now.
While you're going there.
Go right ahead, honey.
The people didn't understand, the disciples didn't understand what after a little while was.
That's right.
Because they didn't understand about the resurrection.
Completely.
Like you said, this was before he was crucified.
Before he died, yeah.
And this was before he came back, because after he died and was put in the grave, he went to the Father, and then he came back to the earth, and he spent those 40 days with his disciples. So they didn't understand this at that time. But later on, they did understand it, that he would return to them. But he only returned to them for 40 days. Then he left again, told them to wait in Jerusalem at the and they went to the upper room and they waited those 10 days.
Yeah.
And then him and his father sent the Holy Ghost to indwell in them.
That's right.
And they actually saw
not to come upon them, but not to come upon them, but to dwell in them, right?
Be in them. So they actually and upon them, because they actually saw the fire of the Holy Ghost upon them, whether it was on their shoulders or their head, but they saw it as fire upon them, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit led them.
That's right.
Gave them the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, we talked about Pentecost,
which
was last week, and God is doing that even today.
He's still moving in that realm, and he sure is.
Wanting to fill people with the Holy Ghost and fire.
That's right. Now, if we go to Luke 24, where I was taking you, this is after Jesus' resurrection. He met these two men on the road to Emmaus, and they walked quite a ways. It must have taken them close to an hour. And he hid his recognition of who he was from them, and they listened to what he was saying. And I'm going to go over to verse 44 for time's sake. In Luke 24, it says, and he, this is Yeshua, said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, what? Concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, what? The third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now here's the key verse. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, as Pastor Donald just said, until ye be what? Endued or clothed with power from on high. So they didn't know what was going to happen, but it came. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while they blessed him, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. We read that in Acts chapter 2, don't we? So here we have all this. And so this was the beginning of all of it. And so they obeyed, and they didn't know what was going to happen. When it came, they were surprised themselves, but they were out of control, because who took over? God took over by the Holy Spirit. This was the manifestation that he brought. And we talked about this so much. At Mount Sinai, God literally spoke, and they listened and they trembled. But here in Acts chapter 2, God didn't literally speak out loud himself, but he spoke through all those people that were filled, and he gave you and I now the privilege to speak on God's behalf. I think that's amazing. What a responsibility yes. that God has given us, and he wants us to walk in the fullness of all that. And so that's why he tells us to open your mouth, and I will fill it. The river of God is full all the time. So I got thinking about this. If we go over to the book of Acts, chapter 10, I believe it is.
So this is not only talking about the promise of salvation, but the promise of the Holy Ghost.
That's it.
That they would receive, mm-hmm. and they were to go back and tarry, because this is when he went back to heaven for good after those 40 days.
That's right.
And told them to go to Jerusalem and to wait, because they were going to be endued or filled with power from on high.
That's right.
Glory to God. So that promise is for everyone, all believers. Anyone who's born again can receive the gift.
And I believe that God wants every single believer, Pastor Donna and Margie, every single believer to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with an evidence of a heavenly language that's unique to you and no one else, that you can communicate with God. The devil doesn't understand it, but you and God. Now, we may not. Excuse me.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Father.
We may not many times understand, but we pray, because it says it builds us up in our most holy faith. Amen. Praying in the Holy Ghost, that's what it says.
Amen.
So I took it to Acts chapter 10. And I want to show you something here of another wonderful manifestation that happened. I want to start in verse 34 of Acts chapter 10. And we're going to read again.
Amen.
Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Isn't that a fact today?
Yes.
He has no respect for any individual. He wants every person on this earth. They all belong to him. They all came from God. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted how? With him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Now, I like verse 38. And God anointed, hear this, he yes. anointed Jesus or Yeshua of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing. Listen to this. I marked in my Bible years ago, and healing all. I'm receiving that right here for me right
Amen.
Now, Pastor Donna.
Yes.
Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them.
Yes.
And we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. This is right after what we find out about Cornelius, how he came into the kingdom of God. Now, verse 40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Quick means the living and the dead, huh?
Yes.
Verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive what? remission of sins. Now listen to this now. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Yeah, boom. Well, where'd he come from? From the north, the south, east? Where did the Holy Ghost? He came, didn't he?
He fell
on all the people that heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, because they believed that only the Jews could receive this and get saved. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as me? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then pray they him to tarry certain days. So, look what happened right here. The Gentiles had it poured out on them. No respecter of persons. And so, here's a manifestation of the power of God. And it all came when? After Pentecost. This was the initiation to bring him into that. If we read all the book of Acts, we see the signs and wonders and the miracles that happened. It's amazing when we look through all this and see what God's done with it, because he works over and over and over and over again to bring people to the Lord.
Yes.
Now, chapter 13's got an interesting thing right here. In the first two verses, or the first three verses, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered, listen to this, as they ministered to the Lord. See, when we minister in the Holy Ghost, what are we doing? We're ministering to the Lord, and he's using us to touch somebody else. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, listen to this, the Holy Ghost said, Somebody spoke. Did the Holy Ghost speak out of heaven? No, he spoke through somebody that was there. It was a manifestation of the Spirit. Maybe all of them spoke. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Another incredible manifestation with a prophetic word. Mm-hmm. And we got people today saying the prophetic word is not used anymore. Well, I got news for you. God's still using it, and he'll continue to use it.
Amen.
I was trying to find out where else I wanted to go here.
Glory to God.
That's right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Go ahead, Lord.
Well, I was just thinking about what you just said, about the Holy Ghost speaking through someone, but also
right.
There's another example over here in Acts chapter 9 when Saul was threatening the people and putting them in jail.
Yeah.
Right. And he desired letters from Damascus in the synagogues that he could go out and,
uh-huh.
and the people that were preaching Jesus, they were wanting to stop them. Anyways, in verse 4 it says here that as they were traveling, he was traveling with some people, that Saul fell to the earth, and he heard a voice. It says he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? Now this voice, from what I understand, was a voice that could be heard, and also a voice that the disciples even heard the voice, because it actually says this. Says that, and he, it says here in verse 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, or the, it's like an ox goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So he heard. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So he had to be obedient and go into the city. And then it goes on and says in verse 7, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but not seeing no man. So they also heard the voice that came from heaven and that spoke to Saul.
Amen.
So they were a witness of that voice. So here we can see that not just Saul heard the voice, but it was a voice that the other men heard as well. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. So he was blind. He opened his eyes, and he didn't see anything. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus whose name was Ananias. Is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
And to him said the Lord in a vision. So he saw, this man saw, had a vision. So God, this shows us that God speaks to us in different ways.
Yes.
By a voice, by a vision, by a word from somebody, a prophetic word, like Saul spoke and like David spoke. And he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, he's telling him, giving him directions. He says, "Rise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth." So this man was a man of God, and he was praying. And he hath seen a vision. So here's somebody else who sees a vision. Amen?
Yes.
And so he saw this man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So here he is. Now he sees, he gets a vision of being healed. His eyes are, he's blind for 3 days, didn't eat for 3 days or drink. And so this Ananias is going to come and he's going to lay hands on him. Then Ananias, he answered and said, he says, "I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thine saints at Jerusalem. And there he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name." What name? The name of Yeshua.
Yes.
Amen. That's Jesus' Hebrew name, Yeshua. But the Lord said unto him, he says, "You go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So here we see different ways that the Lord spoke to people through a vision, through a word. And even though he spoke to, and there was a bright light, they didn't see, those disciples didn't see all that. But they also heard the voice that spoke to Saul, they heard it as well. So we can see there's many different ways that the Lord may speak to people.
That's right.
Throughout the Bible, and we can see how that happened. And even in chapter 10, it goes into when Peter had that vision of the sheet coming down.
With all the animals.
Three times it came down and went back up. And he didn't understand because these animals that were in this this sheet or cloth were unclean animals. And so he didn't realize it was referring to the Gentiles, not food that you eat. So
God wasn't a respecter of persons, yeah.
God is not a respecter of persons. And so we can see how God speaks to different people.
That's right, in different ways.
In different ways.
That's right.
Yes, through visions, dreams, through a voice.
That's right. Different ways.
Different ways.
I got a couple more here if you want to look at them.
Okay.
In chapter 19 of the book of Acts. Listen to this now. We'll read a few verses. You want to get Margie here involved too. Hallelujah. It says in verse 1, "It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples," means they had accepted Christ, "he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism." They have just a repentance, you know, of their lifestyle and all that. Then verse 4, "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." Now listen to this. "And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." They were baptized again. It's a second time, really, right?
Yes.
Now, here's the key verse, verse 6. "And when Paul had laid his hands upon them," here's a manifestation, "the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." So you had two manifestations right there, huh?
Yes.
They had tongues and they prophesied. All right. go over here now to verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, as he witnessed to all these people and ministered to them, so that all they which were in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out from them. Isn't that amazing when you think about
it?
Yes. So there's a couple more manifestations that happens, okay? And we find out that evil spirits were cast out. All these wonderful things that God did with these marvelous manifestations that he has. And so we got to be real careful what we try to judge today, don't we? And, a lot of ministers can get to the place where you're almost superstitious about something, but we don't know what God's doing with individuals, whether they're shaking, crying, or quiet, superstitious about things we put out of what God's doing to a lot of people. We mentioned all these, falling on the floor. Well, that happens a lot. Falling out in the spirit, shaking, jerking, and trembling, groaning and travailing, heavy weeping and crying. Some people cry and cry and cry. If you heard me tell about Pastor Donna, when she first got touched again after we moved up here, we was up here several years, and we kind of drifted away from the things of the spirit. And she used to come by my office when I was working part-time. And she'd come in, and I could tell she'd been crying. I said, "What are you crying about?" She said, "Well, we used to do all these things. We're not doing this anymore." Amen. So what was that? That was that weeping and crying.
Thank you, Lord.
And just being still. And then she talked last week. We mentioned about being drunk in the spirit, having visions and dreams and all these wonderful things. But what we've got to remember with all this, when we're talking about manifestations, we want to remember, it's the manifestations, we don't seek after that. People run around wanting a prophetic word. Mm-hmm. Prophetic word, prophetic word. We don't seek after it. If you're in the right place at the right time, God will give it to you.
Yes.
So we don't seek after manifestations and follow all that. What are we seeking for? We want to experience Jesus in everything, no matter how he wants to give it to us.
Yes.
And that's why I come to that conclusion a long time ago. And I've said this for years, that, God can offend us in our mind,
yes,
to get into our heart.
Yes.
And so we've been taught, a lot of people, you've been in certain denominations or whatever, and they've been taught that this is just not being done today. This is not being done. But see, that's a lie. This book is the same today, huh?
Yesterday,
today, and tomorrow. And Jesus hadn't changed. So he still wants to do the same things that he did back then. But he's expecting people to function the way he wants. He's looking for people that are willing to do it. Neither male nor female, by the way. Okay? Neither male nor female. He'll take either one that's volunteered and open heart to receive what God wants to have done in this particular day and hour. And he'll do it. And so he's used us all. Look how many wonderful women. I think about Marilyn Hickey.
Yes.
Huh? Up in years. Still being served. Still serving the Lord,
yes,
in the fullness of everything. She outlived her husband, who was her pastor. And we think about Joyce Myers, another one, that God uses greatly. And there's a lot of women. And we always talk about Catherine Kuhlman, the anointing that she had. I think about other people. We think about Benny Hinn. Donna's been watching Benny Hinn. A lot of people mock him because of certain things that he does, taking a coat off and putting it on somebody and praying over them. We better just be quiet. And if the Lord tells him to do that, no matter what it is, you better just do it, And so we see the manifestations in his ministry on the stage when people come up there and things have happened to them. Well, that only comes by the Spirit of God. So he preached the word, he taught the word, and then he manifests what God had just talked about, and people get healed. And so it's incredible when we think about it. And so his purpose, what? God called him to what? To preach about healing in the body. And so those are the manifestations that come. We were under another ministry for years that we got ordained originally. And he had a special call in his life for people that were deaf, couldn't hear. He had more signs and wonders and miracles with people's ears popping open than anybody that had ever seen around. So that was something special. Then God gave him a special anointing for that.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
God's manifesting in many different ways. And so we can't be a bunch of clones. That's what I want to lead this up to. We can't all clone everybody else. We can't. I was thinking about when Rodney Howard Brown came to town so many years ago, You know, they'd act like he was making the laughter happen. He wasn't doing that. And then people want to go out and start punching belly buttons, trying to make that happen. You can't. It's not your call. It was an anointing that God gave in his meetings and his meetings only. And so we got to remember that. God's not looking for a bunch of clones. Because somebody else is doing something doesn't mean that God's told you to do that. And so we have to keep that in mind in everything that we do. You are all called, anointed and appointed of God. You have an unction to function. Walk in that anointing that God gave you, and you can do the signs and wonders as well. Jesus told us right here in this book we've been reading in the Bible, what? He says, it is expedient that I go away to be back with my Father, and if I go, you'll be able to do more things that I've done, and even more things than I've done, because of the anointing of God. Amen?
Amen.
So this is all about Pentecost.
Yes.
This was the beginning of the church and the movements that we have today. So how could we even think we could possibly shut this all off and say God's not doing that today?
No, the manifestations of the Spirit, and be up to where we're at in this area, chapter 10 and 9 and all, these things were affecting the Jewish people.
That's right.
But then we can see when Peter preached, that the Gentiles, Cornelius' family, came into the
first Gentile
into the kingdom. And I'm just going to read a couple verses, because it's not just for the Jewish. This Bible is not just for the Jewish people. It's for all people of all races and all nations, that they would come to the Messiah and know Jesus and be filled with the Holy Ghost. It says, I'm just going to read a couple verses here, okay, because he was preaching, he was talking about Jesus over here in chapter 10. And how he anointed in 38, how Jesus was anointed by God with the Holy Ghost, with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses. These are the Jewish people saying this. We are witness of these things which he have both.
That's right.
In the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on the tree, talking about Yeshua. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead.
Right.
This was after he rose from the dead. The disciples ate and drank with him.
Yes.
And probably other people as well. Imagine his mother was there. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, not just the Jews, unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. So they didn't understand that, because at one time they went back to Jerusalem, they questioned it because the Gentiles were receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost as well. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, the name of Yeshua, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. So the people, the Jewish people who were had been circumcised, those men, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So they received, they believed, and what else happened? Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues. They heard these Gentiles speaking with tongues.
And the tongues brought
magnified
God.
And
yeah,
magnifying God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? So they hadn't been baptized yet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. They hadn't been baptized in water for the remission of sins. They heard the preaching, they believed in their heart, and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Then they baptized them in water, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. So this shows here, a lot of people say you have to be saved, baptized in water, then receive the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, God's not, he doesn't always have a particular order how things have to be. These people heard the word, believed, were baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues, and then they were baptized in water for the remission of sins. And he commanded them, be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days.
Amen. All right, Margie, I bet you got a lot. She's over here all ears listening. So
yes, I'm diligently listening.
That's right. There's so much we could talk about, I tell you. An hour is not enough, you listeners, I'll tell you, about the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He's our life. He is.
He is our life.
He sure is.
Thank you, Father.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about God's manifestation in our battles.
All right. That's a good one.
And the great promise. He is our promise. And battles have been going on since the very beginning of time.
Sure has.
So I'd like to go to Exodus. I'd like to be in Exodus for a little bit. Exodus 12. I'd like to begin. And verse 40.
1240?
Yes.
I have to speak up a little bit, Miss Margie.
This is about the God bringing the children of Israel out of bondage, and what a battle that was for the children of Israel being in bondage. And in verse 40, the children of Israel were in Egypt 430 years. Thank you, Lord. That's a long time to be in a battle.
Yeah.
To be in bondage. In Exodus 6, 5 and through 7. Thank you, Father. And verse 5. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. God hears our cries.
Yes.
He sees our tears. Verse 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage.
Hallelujah.
And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. God heard the children of Israel's cry, and God manifested his love for
them.
That's
right, he sure did, yeah.
In Exodus 13 and verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. And, of course, they came out in the month of Abib.
Mm-hmm.
In Exodus 7, chapter 7 through chapter 10, God manifested his power by the plagues. There were 10 plagues,
yep.
Pastor Gene.
Mm-hmm.
He manifested for the people, for
yeah.
the children of Israel, these plagues, because Pharaoh's heart was so hardened. So God manifested his power upon the people and the land of Egypt. And after God brought them out from the cruel bondage under Pharaoh, he didn't leave them to figure out where they would go. He didn't take them to the door and say, okay, I did my part. He didn't just leave them. God had a plan to bring them to a safe place. And in Exodus 3, God doesn't just leave us when we come to him. He has a plan for us, and he had a plan for the children of Israel. Exodus 3, 7 and 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. He knows everything about us.
Yes, he does.
He knew it then, and he knows it now.
Mm-hmm.
He is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Aren't we glad he never changes, huh?
Amen. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. So here we see these people in the land of Canaan, but the people had to fight for that land. And we have to fight for our promised land too. Thank you, Lord. So when Pharaoh released them to Moses, did he pick and choose or say, I can only bring so many?
That's right.
Pastor Gene, you had read in Acts 10 that he is a respecter
of no
person.
That's right.
So, no, God's manifested love for all the children of Israel. He heard each one of their cries. He hears our cries of sorrow too.
Sure does.
In Psalms 34. If we could go there. In Psalms 34. Thank you, Lord. Psalms 34 and 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Thank you, Father. So the number of people that left were 600,000 on foot that were men besides the children.
Yep.
And also a mixed multitude, their flocks, their herds, and their cattle. Thank you, Father. And this scripture is found in Exodus 12, 35 through 42. And all these thousands of children of Israel were not left to guess where to find the promised land. It was God's manifestation, and he knew exactly where they were to go.
That's right.
The people didn't have AAA or roadmap
or GPS.
Or GPS. God had the plan.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
The 4 minutes, huh?
Thank you, Father. So, as we don't have much time, walk hand in hand with God every day, every inch of the way. Trust does not falter when the path gets rocky. Breathe in his presence and hold tightly to God's hand with the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. You can make it.
Amen. Glory to God. He's the same God as he was back in the time of Egypt, right?
He's
Pastor
never
King?
Changed. Aren't we glad he never changes?
Amen. He said, I am that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no other gods before me.
So we're running out of time here. I wanted to give people here an opportunity to receive the Messiah. And I challenge you, this is the most important decision you'll ever make. And I'm going to read something out of the scripture that it's very simple. People make it complicated, but you know, you have to speak with your mouth. You can't just think it in your heart or say, well, I'm going to church every Sunday and I'm going to be saved. That's not the answer. In Romans 10:8, it says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, and is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou confess, listen now, if thou shalt confess with what? The mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you have to speak it out. I remember doing it on the side of the road. Verse 10, for with the heart, that means heart faith, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, here we go, with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. We have to be willing to admit that we're sinners if we don't have the Messiah.
Amen.
So, if you haven't made that decision, we want to give you an opportunity thinking about all the manifestations that came from Pentecost when the baptism of the Holy Ghost came and all the movement we read through the book of Acts and all, and God's still doing those same things today. Yes. We can see things all over the world with traveling evangelists and things in Africa and different parts of the world where God is manifesting himself in dynamic ways. And so the only way you can receive that, first of all, is you got to have Yeshua, don't you? You have to ask the Messiah to come into your life, take over your life, admit that you've been a sinner and that you need a Savior. And he's the only one that can remove the sins that you have. No man can, no priest can, no one. Only God can. And so you have to acknowledge that before him. And the scripture tells us he's faithful and just to forgive you of those sins. And he's going to cleanse you from that. By just coming to Christ, you're going to become new person completely. And you're not going to become a righteousness of God. You're going to be made righteous at that time. And so we just thank God for that. So if you made a decision for him today, give us a call. Give him the phone number, Pastor Donna.
Yes, the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I want to mention that 2 o'clock this afternoon, we will have a Shabbat service at the Alliance Church at 445 Southeast Osceola Street. Mm-hmm. So come join us if you can. And we just want to say have a wonderful Sabbath day.
That's right.
And go ahead, Pastor.
And we tell you every week what? To look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. So draw unto the Lord. Come close. Come to him. You make one step toward him, he'll be right there. And so we love you. We're honored that you're listening to the program. We know that you've been blessed because it's the word of God. We've read so much out of the scriptures. It's his word, not my word, Pastor Donna's word, or Sister Margie's word. It's his word.
Amen.
Believe it and let it be put in your heart, and you'll move on and accomplish great deeds for the Lord even this day and this hour. So we thank you for tuning in, and we say God bless you.
Hallelujah. Shofar, God bless you all.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.
Hello, this is Chris Fogle with the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. We would love for you to join us this Thursday at the Port St. Lucie Civic Center for a Declaration of Dependence, the Night of Prayer. Again, Thursday night, June 20th at 6:30 p.m. at the Port St. Lucie Civic Center located on US 1 in Port St. Lucie. Please join us as hundreds of your Christian brothers and sisters will come together in prayer as we lift up our nation, community, families, first responders, education, business, and youth. The night of prayer will be conducted inside the Civic Center, and there will be plenty of parking. So please join us this Thursday at 6:30 p.m.